This is On Men's Radio Program,
the voice of the United Nations peacekeeping mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea and me.
Tune in to hear news on the peacekeeping process, HIV/AIDS, mine action, and On Men's humanitarian work and more.
Tune in to 17,670 kHz from 9 to 10 GMT every Sundays and Tuesdays from 10:30 to 11:30 GMT on 17,565 kHz.
We also had an OnMe's website, www.onmeonline.org, and click the radio button. You can also visit www.un.org/radio and click on the radio stations in United Nations Peacekeeping Stations.
Welcome to the radio program of the United Nations Mission in Ethiopia and Eritrea. I'm Genevieve Butler. On this week's program, experts at a regional conference in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, discuss the need to continue education even in emergency situations. In Asmara, UNMI peacekeepers join the observance by Commonwealth countries of Remembrance Day. We end the program with the mission's weekly demining report. At least 10 African countries have been severely affected by war in the last 10 years. All are struggling to recover from the devastating social, economic, and political effects of these man-made disasters. Many, including Eritrea and Ethiopia, are grappling with the challenges of reconstruction, including the provision of education, which is crucial to the development of any country. The Interagency Network for Education and Emergencies, INE, stresses the importance of education, especially in critical times. The agency notes that continued education can ease the social and psychological impact of conflict and disasters by giving children a sense of normalcy and stability in troubled times and hope for the future. INE is a global network of non-governmental organisations, UN agencies, donor countries and institutions, education practitioners, researchers and individuals working together to ensure that schooling is sustained during emergency situations and post-crisis reconstruction. This past week, some 35 education experts attended a three-day regional workshop in Addis Ababa. The workshop was organised by INE in collaboration with UNICEF, UNESCO, WFP, Save the Children and World Vision. Participants came from Sudan, Kenya, Somalia, South Africa, Tanzania, Uganda, as well as the host country, Ethiopia. In the opening remarks, the Ethiopian Minister of State for Education, Mr. Fuad Ibrahim, said that although his country had made great strides towards quality basic education in the last 10 years, there had been many setbacks.
Education is still challenged by emergencies, low enrollment levels, gender and regional disparities, high dropout and repetition rates, and low achievement of pupils, all of which impact on the long-term objective of achieving universal primary education.
Ethiopia's education minister told workshop participants that children are among the most affected victims in regions prone to man-made and natural calamities, such as drought, flood, conflict, and epidemics.
As a result of the recurring drought, an overwhelming number of primary school-age children have been deprived of their rights to quality basic education. Vulnerability to emergency has resulted in school-age children discontinuing their basic primary education.
Education is a fundamental right for every child. What then are the authorities in Ethiopia doing to support it? The minister explains.
In order to address the emergency situation, many efforts have been made by the government of Ethiopia, UN agencies, national and international NGOs. Achieving quality basic education and minimum standards of learning of children during emergencies require a concerted effort by both stakeholders and all concerned agencies. UNICEF works in collaboration with local and international partners, including government, UN agencies, non-governmental organizations, and civil society to meet these commitments.
One of the workshop facilitators was Eric Eversman of Catholic Relief Services. Mr. Eversman is a technical advisor on education, and he saw the workshop as a welcome opportunity to reflect on ways of overcoming the challenges that so many developing countries face today.
This capacity building workshop here today is a unique opportunity for us to come together and share what we've learned. There are three key questions that come to mind for us as we go ahead. First, where have we been successful in building awareness, support, and expertise? And what have our challenges been? Second, what strategies have been successful? And where do we need new approaches? And finally, looking forward, what new opportunities exist that we can take advantage of to further our goals and to better achieve education for all?
INI's capacity building manager, Ms. Jennifer Hoffman, also spoke with ANMI Radio about the initiative.
INI focuses on education in emergencies, chronic crisis, and early reconstruction. So it was very important for us to organize this workshop in a country that's concerned by these various issues. We decided to organize a regional capacity building workshop because there's so much to share across the different countries in Anglophone Africa, which have very different experiences, such as Sudan and Ethiopia, Uganda, Tanzania, South Africa. And we wanted to bring people from different countries together so that they could learn from each other's experiences and develop recommendations together.
What type of capacity are you going to build?
This is indeed a capacity building workshop. What we mean by that is that we want to better equip education practitioners and policymakers to provide access to quality education for all children, including those affected by emergencies. Most of the participants have already been trained on the INE minimum standards, and now it's about bringing them back together to better equip them by sharing resources, giving them refresher trainings, and sharing lessons learned.
What do you mean by any minimum standard of education?
So the INE minimum standards for education in emergencies, chronic crisis, and early reconstruction have been developed in 2003 by over 2,250 people coming from 50 different countries, and they were launched in December 2004. And so what we mean by minimum standards is global standards. They're a consensus from all the regions around the world. And so they're the minimum common denominator to implement education in emergencies. They focus on five different categories. The first one is community participation and analysis. The second one is access and learning environments. The third one is teaching and learning. The fourth one is teachers and other educational personnel. And finally, the fifth one is education policy and coordination.
So are you going to deal with all these issues at this workshop?
Definitely. The aim is to equip participants. When they look at one education issue, they actually look at the five different categories to implement the best response possible for all children affected by emergencies.
What are the expectations from the conference?
We really hope that out of the INE Capacity Building Workshop for Anglophone Africa, participants will develop action plans to work together to promote the use of the minimum standards in their different countries, but also across countries. And we also hope that when they go back to their country, back to their organization, they can work with their colleagues who didn't come to really integrate that in their programs and policies.
INI Capacity Building Manager, Ms. Jennifer Hoffman, speaking with Adani Gudina.
Sixty Ways the United Nations Makes a Difference. Improving education in developing countries.
74% of adults in developing countries can now read and write, and 78% of children attend primary school as a direct result of the efforts of the UN agencies.
Improving education in developing countries.
The United Nations goal is to ensure that all children complete a full course of primary school by 2015. Improving education in developing countries. This is one of the 60 ways the UN makes a difference.
Sounds the last post. As troops from Army's Indian contingent presents and lowers arms at the Asmara War Cemetery on Sunday, the 11th of November. It is Remembrance Day, and Army peacekeepers are joining the community of Commonwealth nations to remember the men and women who were killed during the two world wars and other conflicts that have since followed. Army and the British Embassy have jointly organised this ceremony at the Asmara War Cemetery for the past 3 years. The remembrance service this year was attended by members of the Diplomatic Corps, local dignitaries and senior Army officials, including the Deputy Special Representative of the Secretary-General, Mr. Libohang Moleko, and Army's Force Commander, Major General Mohammed Tazia Masada. All those attending wore the traditional red poppy on their lapels. Mr. Moleko and the Force Commander laid wreaths at the foot of a war memorial in the cemetery after observing 2 minutes' silence in remembrance of those who lost their lives. Other wreaths were laid by the Charge d'Affaires of the British Embassy and her counterpart of the American Embassy. The 11th of November was initially commemorated as Armistice Day, with memorial services held at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month of the year to mark the signing on the 11th of November 1918 of the armistice that ended the First World War. It was renamed Remembrance Day after the Second World War. Up next is our weekly report on UNMI's demining operations.
Demining.
From the 2nd to the 8th of November, UNMI's Mine Action Coordination Centre was mostly engaged in road and other mine clearance activities. Mine detection dogs and manual demining teams cleared some 38,600 square metres of land in the Egremekel minefield in Sector Centre. A mechanical team also prepared close to 32,000 square metres of land in the area for demining. The integrated demining capacity team cleared almost 700 square metres in the course of the week with the help of the MAC route clearance team. Due to restrictions on movement, there were no road clearance activities in the temporary security zone. Discussions are underway between MAC and the authorities in Ethiopia for the route clearance team to conduct operations in areas adjacent to the temporary security zone. The route assessment team was also in the field this week, assessing 100 kilometres of roads in Badme in Sector West. The Kenyan Humanitarian Demining Company, KENDEM, was also active in Didalelei in the Badme area, where they cleared just over 2,000 square metres of land. The MAC also continued its campaign to raise public awareness of the dangers of mines and other remnants of war. Its mine risk education team deployed to Assab in Subsector East and in the area of Dibai Sima, where briefing sessions were held with 31 members of the local community. Similar briefings were conducted in Asmara with 15 staff members of the International Committee of the Red Cross, which works very closely with UNMI. Also during the week, an explosive ordnance disposal team deployed to Subsector East from Dibai Sima, Dutum, Bala, Point 44, Endahibai and Point 74, the team collected a total of 255 explosives and ammunitions of various types for demolition. That demining report brings us to the end of this week's programme. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Radio UNMI's programme.
Send us your views and comments to Stella Vuzo, UNMI Radio Programme, Post Office Box 5805, Asmara, Eritrea, or to Adane Kudina, Post Office Box 1357, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
You can also email us at vuzo@un.org or kudina@un.org.